After a rough launch of his version of Godzilla in the 2000s versus Megaguirus, director Masaaki Tezuka takes another bite at the apple with a host of similar ideas in new form. But this time, bringing back a tried and true foe for the big G in Mechagodzilla. Will this new take on the technological terror take off? Find out along with us this week. This is Kaiju versus History, Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is the skeletal remains of a long-dead kaiju, Patrick. And joining me is a hot maser cannon ready to blow miles. Oh, Miles.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes, we are.
We're partying in the KVH house tonight.
We are riding high, and I think it's funny. It's about 9 p.m. on March 10th, and I'm drinking Mario coffee. Day. Oh yeah, it is. I'm drinking coffee and you're drinking liquor to celebrate here, because we literally hit record as soon as we could after watching Godzilla win his first Oscar. First Oscar for a Godzilla movie. Can you imagine when we started this podcast 2 years ago anything remotely
I always thought it was possible. I was a little surprised when Shin Godzilla didn't get a bigger push, but it didn't become the cultural phenomenon that Minus One has. And I think with good reason. And we'll talk about that when we get to Shin Godzilla. But I was a little surprised, although their choice was an excellent film, so I'm not upset. But I was a little surprised that Japan didn't opt to also try for the foreign Oscar. However, going against really stiff competition this year, it would not have won.
Yeah, I was about to say, they had such a huge push for Drive My Car, I think, last year. And was Past Lives even nominated? It's Best Picture nominated, I think.
Yeah, it's Best Picture nominated.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of Japanese representation at this year's Oscars. But I guess technically, Perfect Days is also set in Japan, so there's another representation.
Yeah, I mean, but that said, Godzilla was not going to win against Zone of Interest or Anatomy of a Fall. It was just not going to happen.
Yes, but it did. Minus One did also win. I think this happened this last week. The Japanese Academy
won 8, didn't it?
For Best Picture, something that yeah, they won a ton of Japanese awards. Something that Shin Godzilla did do, but I feel like this is kind of on a different level, you know? So, yeah, man, so jazzed. And I'm so excited to immediately go to record this podcast. I told you I wasn't going to be in a mood to record tonight if Guardians of the Galaxy won or something. It's like, oh, Guardians is great, you know?
But yeah, no, I mean, I loved that movie. It was great, but yeah, and you know, you'll hear our time capsule episode, which we might have to do 2 episodes. I don't know. We'll figure out how we're going to do that. But we are not talking about Godzilla Minus One or Godzilla Minus One Minus Color this week. As much as I would love to keep riding this high, we are feasting on some more Millennium Godzilla, and you know, it's interesting. You know, now we are what? We're in the fourth picture, fifth picture.
This is number 4. Yeah, this is number 4 or 6.
Yeah, because we're doing the duology. We are on the fourth picture of the Millennium Era, and it's so interesting going back to this one. It was the one I was most looking forward to revisiting, because I mean, there's only one film in this era that I have revisited frequently over the years, and that part of it is the, let's say, conventional wisdom, but like kind of the approach, at least at the beginning of the last decade, was that the Millennium series was fairly weak and, you know, not bad, but just didn't offer a lot. And I'm finding that not to be the case revisiting these in a kind of a post kaiju boom era.
I think it's hard because it does start off so soft. You're not even compared but to so, the Heisei Eries, but you know, just
because Heisei.
The end of the Heisei series was so strong with versus Destroyer for a lot of people in a lot of people's minds, and a lot of those films, because they're all tied together, they work so well. Mm-hmm. Then to go into these very disparate films with 2000 Millennium and versus Mega Gyrus, I think that is what colors so much of the opinion. And to be honest, I mean, that is one third of the entire Millennium series. But now we are past GMK, which got all the awards. It got all the box office. It got the fans ignited again. And we're into this week and next week, a duology of Godzilla films by Masaaki Tezuka that I think more than make up for versus Mechagodzilla and some of the missteps of that movie. This is one of my favorite Godzilla films, I think.
And I know I knew going Mecha. Into this, you were a massive fan of this duology. And
I was so excited they decided to bring back this one and Tokyo SOS for the 20th anniversary. That's what they've been showing in theaters the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to see Tokyo SOS in theater, which I'm okay missing that. But I got to see Against Mechagodzilla, and it's so good.
That would have been great screen. In theaters. I'm disappointed that I missed that one. Hopefully they'll put out Final Wars this year for the, I think I've heard that they are for its 20th anniversary.
They've got to. I'm actually kind of excited to see that one in theaters as well.
Oh, but I will. Oh, with bells on.
Yeah, so that was 2022 when the 20th anniversary, because this movie came out in 2002. And indeed, we are talking, of course, about Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, not versus Mechagodzilla, mm-hmm. not versus Mechagodzilla 2, Godzilla against Mechagodzilla. And yeah, I'm very, very excited to chat about it. The other thing, you know, we talked about, I think, on air a few times is how much I love the hats of the JXSDF from this movie, as well as the UNGCC hats from the Heisei era. And yeah, they just decided the Godzilla store to start selling those hats this year. I think they're just coming out when this episode comes out, like mid-April.
I mean, I know it had to take, you know, a big global push, but like people have been wanting these hats for 20 years.
Ever since the you know, seeing those Heisei films originally, I was like, I need that UNGCC hat. Like I said, I've been looking into like making my own, but super excited to get those in. But yeah, I will say that the three hats that you can order on the Godzilla store, only one of them is sold out, and it's the Team Kiryu hat. Is sold out of pre-orders.
It's such a great hat. They have said they are going to do more. So
yeah, well, I think that's just a good example of how beloved this film is and how popular the characters and the characterization of both your human and monster characters are in this movie. So yeah, I'm super excited to talk about it, Miles.
Yeah, I guess before we do. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way. What's in that title, bud?
A Gojira Tai Mecha Gojira. I mean, it's that's the literal title is, you know, Godzilla, like X Mecha Godzilla in the Japanese. Mm-hmm. Can't really translate it out to, I think, what would be the English title of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, because they've already had that movie. And because of like American copyright laws, you really just can't call a movie the same thing without having some problems. So yeah, Godzilla against Mechagodzilla is what we got it here. It has been abbreviated as GXMG, which is really nice. In Poland, it came out as The Return of Mechagodzilla, which no, it's not really true. This is like, you know, original in this universe Mechagodzilla, but
I kind of wish they had stuck with the Australia, the Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 3, because like Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2 isn't a sequel or connected with the original. It's just like,
yeah, but that title also wasn't great.
I like it as a wrestling fan. This is something that people I guess boxing too, people do, like, you know, promote these big fights, even if they're not from the same story. It's like, oh, it's the second time or the third time these massive characters are coming together. And so I don't dislike that, but I also understand from a movie aspect why it's stupid.
I'm interested that they, I mean, because they have done it for a number of Godzilla movies, including GMK that we just watched, where it had a subtitle to help set it apart. You know, giant monsters all out attack. I figured something
right.
could have been added to Godzilla just versus Mechagodzilla. But yeah, I think when you have, I mean, for me, like I said, I think Mechagodzilla is the most iconic Godzilla villain. I much prefer almost every iteration of Mechagodzilla over your King Ghidorahs and Mothras and what have
you. It's hard to say because I feel like your kind of your trinity of Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, and Mothra. It's hard to be. Growing up, I always thought Rodan was a bigger deal than he was, and it's like he hasn't appeared since like the 70s.
No, he was in the Heisei era. Miles, stop erasing Rodan from.
I mean, kind of
the Heisei series. Yeah, he thought of Mini Godzilla as a little brother. Yeah, but
he's kind of there. But like, it is interesting that like every era is going to have those three characters, with the exception of the Sony TriStar movie, but even the American era, like you've got those three characters as your main in King of the Monsters.
Ghidorah, Mothra, and
Godzilla.
And Godzilla. Oh, yeah. And I mean, we get a version of Mechagodzilla.
And we get Mechagodzilla. Well. So I feel like those are pretty big ones.
I think one of the reasons I love Mechagodzilla so much is it is really different in almost every single iteration. And this version, of course, is no different. But yeah, I think I love this movie just as much as I love Godzilla 2000 because, I mean, just to get into the movie, you got Godzilla in the first 2 minutes of the film, right after the credits roll, you get Godzilla in this amazing typhoon sequence. And
you also have a good score like that always introduces him. And without doing the needle drop of the theme that bum, 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 like it's a really good heralding of Godzilla when he appears.
Yeah. Michiru Oshima did the music for this for Versus Megaguirus, is a female composer who Masaaki Tezuka worked with all three of his Godzilla pictures, and I love this score. I enjoyed it in Versus Megaguirus, but I feel like the themes that she makes in this and in Tokyo SOS are just great soundtracks. It's so hard to make your own space in this world where you have to compete with Akira Fukube. But she does it. It has like this real industrial kind of, you know, epic score. And I think it really works for this movie where it's about pilots of a giant mech suit, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. It is a noticeable improvement in terms of tone, in terms of, you know, having a collected thought as a musical score. Like the prior scores in the Millennium series, and honestly in some of the Heisei as well, have always felt a little discombobulated, or like you throw in, you know, oh, gotta have that classic tune. And this whole thing, and this is when you get a good Godzilla and Bear Mercury's King of the Monsters, and then the score from Minus One are among them. Like you can have your needle drops of actually even Shin Godzilla of the original themes, but like you also have to have your own voice. And that is absolutely happening here. There is a good, like, I think, well-rounded, thought-out score here that doesn't just feel like, you know, some tracks that were thrown together. And I feel like it's honestly one of the strongest scores that the franchise has.
It was performed by the Moscow International Symphonic Orchestra. So went to Moscow, I think, for the recordings back in 2001 while the movie is being made. Just amazing. I can listen to the soundtrack by itself. And I really think it is so important in setting this duology apart from the other films, because like we said in our Megaguirus review, I really appreciate what the director was trying to do in that film. It just didn't take off in that one. And it does here for whatever reason. It very much does so here. This series, this duology, has also been called the Kiryu series because it, you know, it's both of them primarily focus on Kiryu, the Mechagodzilla of this film. But this is different, of course, from, even though it really could have been in the Mega Gyrus universe if they wanted it to be. But
I'm perfectly happy that with this being separate. Like, this is very much like a lot of the Millennium movies, a sequel to the original Godzilla film. The original Godzilla was, and also Mothra.
I was about to say, we get clips of both Mothra in this movie, and they talk about but only one of the brothers is shown in clips and referenced, only like I think Sanda, and they talk about using the maser cannons to defeat him. Mm-hmm. So like, does the entirety of those movies happen? More things are alluded to and introduced in supplementary material that they release alongside the film. And then because Tokyo SOS is part of the same universe, they do apparently, you know, the events of the Amoeba are also in this one. But so this one is a little unique in that it incorporates a few films as part of the canon. And they didn't have any plans for Tokyo SOS. We'll talk about that next week when they made this film. So, I mean, introducing...
Which honestly makes the end of this movie a little baffling. Like, when you watch it back to back, it feels like a complete thought. But, like, I don't love the finale of this movie. We'll get to it. But
spoiler warning, it has a very similar ending to a vast majority of Godzilla movies. Godzilla walks into the ocean and is like, see you later.
Well, yes, but it's a different context, I feel like, because a lot of times when he pieces out, he's like, come to save Japan from a giant monster, and then, you know, deuces and gooses. But
no, this is Godzilla is the monster in a lot of ways in this film. But
what I do love, and what you alluded to about both of these movies, one is that Tezuka found his tone, whereas Megaguirus is all over the place. Both of these movies have a very specific tone. They have a very specific thing they are going for, and it achieves that, which to me is Homeboy wanted to make a mecha anime and just did it. Because
so many elements of Evangelion kind of creep into this film, you know? I was feeling
Gundam.
The Gundam as well, but I feel like the using DNA to like code the computer is such an Evangelion thing.
It's just that like Akane is 100% more digestible than freaking Shinji, but also she wants to get in the robot.
Get in the robot, Akane. Oh wait, she's already
taken off.
She's trying to kill Godzilla by herself.
But this has so many things, and it was a contributing factor as to what I loved about Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2. It feeling very much like a mecha anime, but in the time since, mecha anime had blown up. Because, you know, you had your Evangelion kind of help give it a rebirth. In the West, you had Gundam Wing.
Gundam Wing got so crazy popular
not in Japan. It had a soft release in Japan, but like everywhere else, this is what brought Gundam to the forefront in the conversation in the day.
Early 2000s is when I feel like the vast majority of the printing in English dubs and subs was happening on DVD and really just exploding that fandom outwards in the States and then the West.
And that's why I feel like Akane, she honestly feels a little bit more like Amuro Ray than Shinji.
I can see that. She's our main character for this film, played by Yumiko Shaku. And she is one of my favorite characters in all of Godzilla.
She's so good.
Love her so much. And, you know, like we said in our Versus Megaguirus review, we already had this character. We already had this exact character in Versus Megaguirus with the exact same origin story. But I don't know why I prefer this one so much more, Miles. Like, they're both good actresses. It's a good character. But a major Sugimori, just of the G-Graspers, does not hit the same as Lieutenant Akane, and I can't explain it.
It's so funny because I knew her from, it was a series, but I only had seen the actual movie. Sky High by Ryuhei Kitamura before watching these. And so when I did watch them after the fact, I was like, oh, it's the girl from Sky High. Again, like Ryuhei Kitamura was like my pathway back into Godzilla movies when Final Wars came out back in 2004. So like going back to see like all of these people who had been involved in Ryuhei Kitamura films was really, really cool. And she is the star of one of them. And then I guess it was a popular like kind of supernatural series in Japan at the time called Sky High. I think she plays like the gatekeeper of the afterlife or something.
Oh man, I need to go back and watch
it. It's been a long time since I've watched it.
I, like I said, she has basically the same origin story. The movie starts in basically the same way of a bunch of soldiers dying, basically as a result of the main character's, you know, negligence or some other
just her problem. Actions. I was a little unclear. I was like, I mean, everyone blaming her, I thought was a little overboard. Like she was just trying to like.
Regardless, unlike in the other movie where we don't really see the consequences, the ramifications of those actions, we get to see like a military court and her fellow soldiers kind of like shunning her. And throughout the movie, her going through stages of grief and then, you know, kind of trying to make up for that. So she has a character arc. And it's so the funniest thing about it is she's so reserved. She's not overacting or pushing herself at all, I think, to kind of shake everything out of the character. And it really does feel like they're setting up, you know, to give her more of a story, but she doesn't really even come back in Tokyo SOS, which is such a shame. But Shin Takuma plays Professor Yuhara in the film, who's very similar to the scientist, the male scientist character in Versus Megaguirus, but it has got a number of years. There's like a 20-year age difference between these two actors.
Yeah, and he keeps it's weird when he keeps hitting on Akane, because at first like even the daughter's calling him out, which I thought was hilarious. It's just he's affable. The actor's affable enough that he makes it come off as aloof and kind of charming, but it's
I love like, him as well. I think
he's, but it's also he's creepy. Great.
It is a little bit creepy. It's early 2000s. I don't know what to say. But they of course, we saw Shin Takuma in another Godzilla movie. He was Okimura in The Return of Godzilla, 1984's Return of Godzilla. So he's been a main character in a Godzilla movie before and plays a much, much different one in this film. I really appreciate kind of bond with his daughter, Sarah.
Yeah, and she's delightful. Like we have been blessed in the recent years with just great child kaiju actors.
Yeah, well, like I said, all three of these characters, well, I guess the kid in Versus Megaguirus isn't as kind of active in the plot.
He's got nothing to do, but yeah, he's fine.
But like so many characters have kind of direct translations in this film, but every single character in this movie I care more about than in Versus Megaguirus. I think part of that is because Versus Megaguirus does feel a little bit like a horror movie, and you're just expecting them to die.
I mean, there, and we had this conversation with Graham Skipper, like there's no characters in that movie. There's no effort to like make you care about anyone. The script is honestly a mess. And while this one isn't perfect, there is an attempt to like rectify all of those. And I think what's so cool about it is like, even though some of it seems a little superficial, like I really wish there were more scenes between Akane and Sarah throughout the movie that were a little more digging into the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a thing. I think your movie is doing a very good thing if you want more scenes and want more of the human scenes, because there's a lot of action in this film as well.
And we also have a second Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah. Another Godzilla in this film. Well, I was about to say, I want to go back to a little bit of the production.
Well, history. I guess a third Godzilla.
Yeah, a little bit of the production history of this film, because, you know, this was a hit, but supposedly it did have some budgetary restrictions with producer Tomiyama saying that they could only destroy three buildings like budget wise in this movie.
Yikes.
But they did what I think they have done in almost every Showa movie after the first two, which was reuse special effects as a cost saving measure. Mm-hmm. There's a shot used from the 1975 Toho film Conflagration, where an oil refinery explodes, and they've used that like I feel like five times in five different movies. They just they added in the after effect of one of Mechagodzilla's missiles going into it. But yeah, I didn't notice that it was
not from, I didn't a, either. From they a, did a film great job.
25 years prior or whatever.
I also thought, I mean, they made some efforts to like kind of animate Godzilla's facial expressions a little bit more, which was a big problem with the last movie where he just looked like a plastic toy. It's a yeah. similar, well, not the last movie, but versus Megaguirus.
Kira Goji, they kind of rebuilt for this film.
I mean, it's a similar design, facial. But it looks better.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, they added a lot more facial animatronics into Kira Goji. I think they shortened the neck somewhat from the build for versus Mechagodzilla. Of course, Tsutomu Kitagawa is once more in the big G suit. And yeah, I think so much of Godzilla's performance lies in those facial animatronics. So I'm very happy to have them back.
I got to do something weird, which I've not done in this show ever. But if you are in the States, just because this is such a rare thing, Tsutomu Kitagawa is going to be on the convention circuit this year. He's coming to Retro Toy Con here in Greenville, South Carolina in November. But like, I only bring that up because like the chance to meet a living Godzilla suit actor is, increasingly rarer. And
we've lost so many in like the last 5 years with, you know, right. Satsuma and I feel like the pandemic, they're just dropping like flies.
I know he's at least coming to the Southeast United States. I would take a peek and look at the convention circuit, because I can't imagine he just come into the States for one convention.
Go see him. Go get something signed and you will you'll be happy about it. This film also has the fourth appearance of Mechagodzilla in a film, in the form of Kiryu, whose name kind of translates from the kanji to machine dragon. And some of these early designs that they submitted, they had three different designers submit ideas before they built this new suit. Some of them are very Mechazord, you know, kind of Dragonzord.
It is my favorite Mechagodzilla design, I think.
There's nothing to hate about it. I just love it so much. It looks so good.
that flash of blue with the jet things gives it that kind of Gundam vibe.
I'm
a big fan of the 70s Showa Mechagodzilla suit. I've got a really nice figure arts of that one. But this one is just a great... I wish that they had made these films a little bit more recently so that they could do more with the suit. Just because, I mean, and it's a problem. I mean, you can tell this movie doesn't have a ton of money because Kiryu doesn't do a whole lot. The story does all the work, which absolutely works. But I also you can tell that the Godzilla suit seemed to be a lot more of a problem for the suit actor. I remember watching a video where he said like he treated Godzilla kind of like a wrestler and he was always kind of hunched, you know, but he is moving a lot more stiffly and slowly. And it feels like some of it's part of it's the actor wanting to do what they want. But part of it's also, I think that suit is just holding him up.
Yeah. And I think they reduce some of the bulk in Tokyo SOS and we get some more kind of dynamic action sequences in that film. But yeah, I think design wise, it's just so classic. Like, you know, they toned down the back spikes a bit from the Millennium Goji suit. And I really like the face. They kind of added like these more cat like eyes to Gojira.
Yeah, he just has a little bit more personality, especially when he's being a little bit of a dick. He just has more personality. And I really appreciate that. I also love, it's not the first time we've seen this concept because it pops up in Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. They kind of use that. But I love the concept of, all right, this is a sequel, but we're going to use those Godzilla bones as the basis for our new monster or our new Mechagodzilla. And
such,
and we're going to come
cool
up with a
idea.
Cool reason to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a cool idea. And the consequences of that make for such an interesting movie. And, you know, for better or for worse, it does feel like a Kiryu movie. It doesn't feel like a Godzilla movie, you know, but I think that's one of the appeals. This character became so beloved. Kiryu would oftentimes top the rankings for, you know, like best Godzilla monster for several years in the early 2000s.
And him basically being a Gundam is, I think, the main reason.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, and I think, I don't know, do they talk about Godzilla as a she, or the bones as a she in the movie? I feel like that happened once or twice, but I'm not sure if that was
I don't remember if that was a translation thing or not. Because there's several times in the movie where they say Mechagodzilla, but I hear the voice, or the voice actor, but I hear the Japanese actor saying Kiryu, and I'm like, you could just call Kiryu. It's okay. Like,
yeah, we're talking about before we started recording, but they say Mecha G, Mecha Godzilla a lot in this movie. They refer to it almost entirely as Kiryu in Tokyo SOS in the next film. You know, for whatever reason, stylistically, perhaps. I feel like they originally did that potentially to once again get around confusion of how do we differentiate between these Mecha Godzillas? Like, are we actually going to call this one Mecha Godzilla 3? And the primary legal name that will also come up is MFS 3, which stands for Multipurpose Fighting System. From the a lot of Japanese, I think, literature about it will reference it as that, which another, it feels like Evangelion kind of reference. get inside MFS 3, Lieutenant Akane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, I mean, everything about this is, it just feels like an anime. From the suits, from the all of the acronyms, from the design of the, like, the logos, from even the story they're telling with Akane, and even having, like, the, you know, the professor and his daughter, like, all this feels like an anime in the best way.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, his line of, like, you know, if you beat Godzilla, I'll buy you dinner. But if mm-hmm. Kiryu gets beaten, I'll
buy you dinner as a consolation or something.
No, you have to buy me dinner.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, something remember. Along those lines. Or yeah, if you beat Godzilla,
he was getting dinner with her either way.
I'll buy you dinner. Yeah, it's such a anime line, and it really does feel like they could have hired a slightly younger actor to fill that role, but he does a great job as
I wish
as
they had professor. Gotten the pilot from Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2 to do it.
Right.
Because that would have been yeah, a good callback.
Yeah,
we see something like that in this duology.
What? So there, I mean, I really do feel like Masaaki Tezuka is perhaps my second favorite Godzilla director, because he seems to have such a love for the Showa era of films and those actors. He brought back several actors from the original series. Kumi Mizuno plays the prime minister, who kind of passes things off to Akira Nakao. In this film, she's only in it for a short amount of time, but she was, you know, a mainstay Toho actor, and was, of course, in Ebera. She was in Invasion of Astro Monster, War of the Gargantua. So movies that this one references, brought back a whole bunch of people. Akira Nakao plays the prime minister in this movie and in Tokyo SOS. And he was, of course, in the Heisei series as a Taki Aso, Colonel Taki Aso.
Yeah, I love all the returning actors here. And as I prefaced before, we also get another Gojira in Hideki Matsui, who is an MLB legend who in Japan was known as Gojira. That was Godzilla was his nickname.
Oh, right. So many awesome cameos. And he's got a great scene, too, where, you know, like kid's about to get beaned with a baseball. And he's like, oh, I got to step up and crush this one.
It was great. And I mean, you know,
I think I got to see him play for the Yankees.
Did you really? That's awesome.
I didn't get to many games, but I feel like I got to a couple in college where he was playing. I think, is that what they had? When did they get their new stadium?
That I don't know. But I mean, I know he was on the 2009 World Series championship team. So like he was there for a while and then retired. I think he got traded to the minor league team so he could say he retired as a Yankee. But he was a huge deal in Japan, especially at the time. But like when he went to Major League Baseball in the States, like he was an all-star. Like he was literally a two-time all-star. And he was a World Series MVP. Like he was a big deal and earned his name.
Yeah, I was about to say he's been probably usurped in the history books by Shohei Ohtani. But yeah, he was larger than life coming over from Japan at the time. Yeah, so many amazing cameos. It's something that they also did in GMK, but I really appreciate it a lot here. We get another director cameo in the post-credit sequence, which I thoroughly enjoy. Tezuka is like a engineer in the background walking past Akane in the post-credit sequence.
Both of these movies, and we'll talk about the other one next week, but both these movies have post-credit sequences. That's so wild. Like yeah, in 2002.
Yeah. All three of yeah, that actually got me down a rabbit hole of like, what was the first post-credits sequence? The first one I remember was Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but I mean they've been around for like 50 years
in
popularity. But that the Ferris Bueller Day Off one was like, that's so fun, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's doing it specifically to like seed future movie ideas like you would in a Marvel Cinematic Universe, but he's doing it just to have fun. And
right.
And this one was a fun one. Yeah, do you have a favorite scene? Something that stands out from your rewatch of this film? I've watched this like three or four times, I feel like, in the last couple of years.
There's a scene where like Kiryu like body checks Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of my favorite moments in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Where like I think he's about to like crush somebody or breath like a kid or something. And then like
not on my watch.
To it. Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, like you just see Kiryu coming in, body checking Godzilla into a building. It's honestly because this movie, I feel like some of the monster fights are a little lackluster because of the inability for them to do a lot with Kiryu's suit. Scenes like that definitely stand out for me. Because I felt like the battles didn't serve on the level as everything else was doing.
Some of the action sequences though are some of my favorite in any Godzilla sequence. My favorites, I mean, there's a bunch of Kiryu just going crazy and haywire and like destroying things, but
oh yeah, because Kiryu, like the spirit of the original Godzilla, like wakes up when he sees new Godzilla.
I love when they're like, oh, we probably should have thought about that, like when they realize what's happening to them.
Yeah.
I've lost control of Godzilla. It's literally its first mission and we're out of control. Yeah, it goes on a reign of destruction, and at the very end of it, the tail end of it, they have Mechagodzilla just straight up walk through a building, just absolutely obliterate it and leave like a Kiryu sized hole in it before it powers down.
The Kiryu sized hole, it's such a Looney Tunes thing to do, and I agree with you, it is executed perfectly.
Right. I mean, this movie did do very well. I don't think it achieved the box office draw of GMK, but grossed like 1.9 billion yen in Japan, where I think GMK was like 2.4 or something along those lines. But it did very well. It did very well on its initial run through, you know, so much so that, like I said, spoiler warning, we're going to be talking about the same director next week. And the next film in the Godzilla series is a direct sequel to this one. Do you want to get to rating this one, Miles? What do you think about for your personal enjoyment?
So I go back and forth on this one because there is so much about this movie that I absolutely love. I love that it is trying to be a mecha anime and giving us a, and there's something about the attempted live action style of these things in the early 2000s in Japanese films. There is something about them that's so endearing to me, despite the fact that, you know, at the time, the Japanese movie studios were kind of about like 8 years behind your kind of Hollywood special effects. And a lot of times you could tell. That said, I think my only real big problem is, yes, I wanted some more fleshing out of the characters they give us, but the story they tell us is excellent. The characters are excellent. They're excellently portrayed by their actors. My biggest complaint does come in that I do feel like, despite the fact that I agree with you, it delivers some really fun action sequences, I am a little disappointed by the showdown between our titular characters. I think the next one kind of makes up for that. But at the same time, you know, I know they didn't have a lot to work with and they couldn't help, you know, afford to damage these suits in a way they might be able to in a bigger production. So that said, this is still a very, very I'm looking at our thing. This is a very strong movie. And honestly, I would dare say kind of a great movie. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
Yeah, 8 out of 10. Because I do think for me, the movie does slow down in parts that kind of it shouldn't, because the monster's on screen. And there's a couple scenes where like it's just Godzilla lumbering through and it's not even like a really tense scene. And I feel like that some of those should have been cut a little bit. Like, yeah. I enjoy seeing Godzilla throughout the film, but like there was a lot about this movie that just like didn't quite measure up to where the movie promises to go. And that kind of disappointment does, you know, deck it a little bit for me. But I still think it's a really, really strong movie. I have a very, very good time with it, and I will definitely be watching it again. So personally, I think it's a great movie. It's really solid. And so I'm going to rate it accordingly. What about you?
It's one of my most, I think, rewatchable Godzilla experiences. I saw it on the big screen. I rewatched it a couple times before going into this review. And I've watched it, I think, once more in this last year. It's just so much fun. And it really does feel like Godzilla 2000 Millennium for me, in that you just have so much fun with these human characters. And then this world that already has Godzilla as like a threat in it. So you're just like, you know, if you're just looking for something that doesn't have, you know, a lot of lead up into the action, you know, these movies in the Millennium series, really, I feel like are made for fans. But yeah,
this is 100% made for Godzilla fans. Absolutely.
This duology is just so much fun. We talked about in length how much we were let down by versus Mega Gyrus. And I really feel like this movie makes up for everything that movie wasn't. And maybe it's because he had, you know, GMK as a buffer year. He could like, kind of, you know, work out some workshop more of these ideas. Yeah.
Well, it's why I gave Gyrus the Yavakov score I did for its impact, because had he not had that movie, I don't know if we'd get this one. And really, like, personally, let me make sure I look at my ratings. Just so I did give GMK a higher score, but I am probably more likely to rewatch.
Yes, it's one of those things which are like, well, GMK is probably a better movie, but I enjoyed this one.
This is a great popcorn Godzilla movie, and honestly, I think what the franchise really needed is just like a good, like, this felt like a superhero movie.
Yep, I love Kiryu. I love this Godzilla. I love these human characters. And like I said, watching in theater, I mean, there was cheering. There was like, people were so into this
flick. Oh, yeah. You're not going to one of these older Godzilla films and not already being a fan. Like, I'm sure everyone in the theater with you had seen this movie 10 times.
So my personal enjoyment is a 10 out of 10. And my technical score, I do think this movie, and maybe it doesn't suffer as bad as in the special effects department as some of the other Millennium films, but you can still tell this one was made kind of under budget, under some time constraints. And yeah, but you know, that being said, we talked about, I think this is one of the best suits for the Millennium series and some of the best characters, if not, you know, character writing. I really do appreciate so much of 2000 and a great plot, great ideas for Kiryu here. And I really do think this is a large step up special effects wise in general from the first two films of the Millennium era. It is very hard.
Oh, for sure.
It's super hard to compare to GMK's special effects outside of some of the bad CGI in that film. These two do feel like on par with one another. So I'm giving this one a 9 out of 10 for the technical aspect. What about you, Miles?
Well, look at that. Because I also gave it a 9 out of 10. Even though my personal enjoyment was an 8 for certain reasons as to why I'm not giving it a 10, I think despite its budget, this movie looks incredible. It has a script that, yes, it needed another pass to kind of flesh out some things. I could have used about maybe 10 more minutes, which is not something we say a lot on this show. Usually it's, well, they could have taken this out. But despite the fact that I think the script could have done more, the script as it is very, very solid. You have some great suits. You have a great concept. You have, honestly, a great movie. And I think all the technical aspects, I think, shine more because they didn't have the money. Like, it doesn't hurt this movie that it didn't have the money. The fact that they were able to deliver a product of this quality, kind of like how we've been talking about Godzilla Minus One, the fact that they were able to deliver that movie under the circumstances that they have makes me want to give them more credit. And so,
an Oscar.
I mean, well, one for best special effects in 2002.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm gonna look it up.
Well, actually, was that an Oscar back then?
That is a great question.
I don't know.
74th Academy Awards, and I'm assuming there was a special effects.
Best visual.
Yes, effects. Yes. Oh, wait. Well, it wasn't going to beat Lord of the Rings, so never mind.
Oh, yeah, 2002. That's
yeah. Return of the King won that year. So, that yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Nine out of 10, 100%. I think this movie is, I get why you love it, even though it's not my personal favorite. It's an actual blast. And I think other people, honestly, yes, GMK is the better movie, but I would suggest watching this one first.
And for its importance, I do think this is one of the most important films in the Millennium series. It is such a bummer it's overshadowed by GMK very often, but I feel like what that movie did for Godzilla, you know, this one really does for kind of the institution of Kiryu and Godzilla's villains, but also for that. You know, almost every single Godzilla movie uses that original Gojira to some effect. This one, I think, is one of the best uses of kind of the, I mean, it literally uses the bones of that original Gojira and kind of builds that universe. So I'm giving this a 10 out of 10 for its importance, for its, you know, kind of nature as a piece of art. I really feel like so much of the legendary Godzilla movies is built on the back of this, because we get a very similar Mechagodzilla in that series, kind of a different.
It's almost a combination between that and Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, because they're using Ghidorah's skull. To like telepathically talk to the robot. It's very similar nonsense. I agree.
Yeah, but this is also feels, like I said, like a synthesization of your Gundam, your Evangelion. And like I said, in Japan, this movie just rates so much higher for kaiju fans. And yeah, I feel like this is like a whole brand new character. Whereas I feel like every time they bring back a classic Godzilla enemy, it's always just some kind of rehash, you know, like this is Mothra.
Yeah.
You've seen Mothra before. This in Tokyo SOS, it isn't the original Mothra, but they use the exact same design. But this Kiryu is completely different from the other Mechagodzillas, which I appreciate. I appreciate a good deal, like from concept to execution. And yeah, it, because of its kind of lack of differentiation, I feel like the impact for this movie was lessened in the States. You know, these movies weren't coming out in theaters at this point. It has a very similar name to a lot of other Mechagodzilla movies, which might hurt it. But yeah, I think for the entire Millennium series, I mean, this is the only movie that was so good they gave it a sequel immediately. So I think this is an important one. I really wish the characters came back in that sequel, but
yes,
we'll talk about that next week.
So that definitely hurts the impact for me. I do agree with you in that, like, this is a very important film for Mechagodzilla. I think Kiryu is the standout of this movie and this duology. That said, like I said at the top of the show, the Millennium era is still, I think, finding its audience in terms of its importance. It certainly has had an influence. And I mean, this is a great, great example, like building off what you said, Patrick, of taking a classic Godzilla villain and giving us something different. It's utilized in a similar fashion in Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, but it doesn't cross until, and I mean, I remember being a fan of that movie because it felt kind of like a mecha anime. Mm-hmm. And I think even used the actor from Gunhead. So like that was all there. But this one kind of completes that. This is full on. What if Mechagodzilla was a mecha anime character? And this, you could not ask for a better story for that concept. Like, yeah. Honestly, I kind of wish they had taken the bones of this movie and the next movie and made like a 2-season anime out of it.
Yeah.
I think you would have had something cool. And for anyone who like emails me to tell me about the Netflix anime trilogy, I've seen it. It's not what I'm talking about at all.
No, thank you.
Yeah. We'll get to those, but so I'm still sticking with the fact that it is certainly an enlightened approach to Mechagodzilla. And that is one feature of this ranking, but I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. I am obviously not as enthusiastic about this movie as you are, but I do think it's great. I do think it is quite an achievement for a Mechagodzilla film, but it doesn't quite just hit the mark for me. Like, it's so close to the bullseye. Like, I mean, that's why I'm giving it a high score, but it doesn't quite nail it for me. And I think part of it for me is, you know, this movie ends with them barely scraping by, and then Godzilla is just like, I got hit, that hurt, and so I'm going to go elsewhere for a little bit. And that's the end of the movie. And that,
well, we're going to find out it's more than just hurt. He's super wounded, comes back with a huge scar, and they changed the suit.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that next week, but like,
it's not in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he just turns around and goes away. And I don't love that. Like, I understand that, like, so many movies ended that way, but it's usually after Godzilla defended Japan and, you know, was like, okay, I'm done. And here's like, he gets hit really well once. And it's like almost like a scalded dog. Like, he's just like, all right.
Well, I think they imply in the film, like, that they kind of realize, or Godzilla realizes what he's fighting, like, at one point, you know, that
they do.
And that's really cool. I
wish they had kind of expanded upon that a little bit more. Like,
yeah.
And again, this is why I'm giving an 8. Like, it's just, there are so many great ideas, and I wish everything that they did was executed as great, because this is a really, really good movie. And I highly recommend people seek it out. Like, I mean, if it weren't for my favorite Millennium movie, this would be my favorite Millennium movie.
Right. So that puts you at an 8. I'm at a 10, and our podcast final at a 9, which
I also knew I had to keep that from being a 10.
Well, the only way it would have been a 10 is if you had also given it a 10.
I wasn't actively voting against you or nothing. I was like, I knew where we were in this movie. And I was trying to think if I was as high on this movie as you were. And I really want to be. Because I think this is a really, really good
movie. Prepare to for your rewatch of Final Wars, because supposedly the footage of the oil refinery from 1975 is also reused in that movie. And I was like, oh yeah, they do have like a giant fight at an oil refinery.
Yeah, and I'm fully expecting karma to come back on me in Final Wars, because I don't think you like that movie as much as I do.
It's so bonkers. It's so crazy. It's so funny. We went from like super serious GMK, a duology respecting Godzilla's past, to a sideshow.
Well, we will talk about that when we get to it, because I 100%, and I remember reading a bunch of interviews with Kitamura at the time, he wanted to give you a greatest hits compilation because this was the 50th anniversary movie.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the most anniversary feeling, certainly, any of the anniversary films.
100%. It is the first anniversary movie that feels like an anniversary movie, for sure.
Find us online at kaijuversushistory.com. and email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. I suppose I should be checking that every time we begin to record an episode. I don't think we've got any emails this week, but
no one talks to us except on our Discord.
Yeah, it's fine. You can find us on our Cosmic Crit Discord if you search Discord. And social media is it's a great way to get in touch as well, at Kaiju Versus History, wherever you use the social medias. I guess not Facebook, sorry. But yeah, rate and review our show where you find this podcast and let other folks know about what you think. And if you want to see all our reviews in 5-star format, we have a Letterboxd account under Kaiju Versus History. So you can see what we've rated everything as a podcast for the last 130 odd episodes. And yeah, this will be up there very shortly. What is, well, we've talked about it enough, but lead us out here and tell us about what's next week, Miles.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. And thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next week when we finish off the Kiryu Mechagodzilla duology. As we've stated many times in this episode, tune in for History versus Godzilla, Tokyo SOS.